From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Tennessee Performing Arts Center in Nashville, Tennessee, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Yes, you know how to show a guy a good time. Thank you so much. Now, it is great to be here with you in Nashville, but everybody we've talked to here in Nashville, they've been saying to us now, look, don't just come here and make country music jokes, okay? There's so much more to us than that. And we're like, fine, we get it. So when we have country music legend Vince Gill on later in the show, we'll talk to him about the Greek debt crisis, okay? In the meantime, you can give us a call at our honky-tonk. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, Peter. This is Jeff Camaro from Bethesda, Maryland.
Hey, how are things in Bethesda?
Wonderful. We're having great weather for a change.
That's great. Now, is Bethesda, is that sort of a toddling town like Nashville is, filled with music?
Well, it's outside of Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
I think it's for what it's worth.
I know. Well, welcome to the show, Jeff. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher. Mr. Adam Felber is here in Nashville.
Hello, Adam. Hi, Jeff.
Next up, a blogger and a deputy editor for the Houston Chronicle, Ms. Kiri O'Connor, is here. And lastly, an author whose newest book is Alphabetter Juice and a proud graduate of Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, Mr. Roy Blunt, Jr.
Ah, how are you doing?
Jeff, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize, Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
So here is your first quotation.
Definitely more lively than Mitt Romney and has nicer hair, too.
That was an Iowa voter who was very impressed with a candidate now rising in the GOP polls this week. Who?
That is Michelle Bachmann.
Michelle Bachmann, yes, very good.
Yes.
Ms. Bachmann, Michelle Bachmann. She has become pretty much the consensus second choice for many GOP voters, right behind please anyone but these clowns. Ms. Bachmann has risen in part by asserting things that are very provocative but not true, such as the one that the founding fathers all crusaded against slavery and that the Obama administration would be abandoning the dollar in the favor of some leftist currency. She asserted that. So in Obama's America, a copy of the Communist Manifesto would cost you 4 quinoa and an acai berry. In fact, Michelle Bachmann, true to her form, launched her presidential campaign with a little error. She went to Waterloo, Iowa, her hometown, and said she had the spirit of the town's most famous resident, John Wayne. Mm-hmm. She was close. Waterloo's most famous resident was, in fact, John Wayne Gacy. The infamous serial killer.
Who can forget that moment in The Quiet Man where he puts on that clown makeup?
Oh, it's terrifying.
The great thing about Michelle Bachmann is that she doesn't back down. She doubles down on this stuff.
She does. She will not back down,
like,
ever.
When she said that John Quincy Adams, you know, was a founding father, and you know, and he was like 9 when the revolution started.
He was a founding little boy. Was it
a founding tween? Is what he was. Yeah. He was a founding tween.
Another reason that people like Michelle Bachmann's chances is they consider her a more viable alternative to Sarah Palin. You hear that comparison a lot. So, to using the classic Gilligan's Island analogy. No, listen. Bachmann would, of course, be Marianne to Palin's Gilligan. Here, Jeff, is your next quote.
The question here is, what did James Madison believe about video games?
That was a question asked in oral argument as the subject of violent video games was discussed, we assume for the first time ever. Where?
At the Supreme Court.
At the Supreme Court, yes. Very good, Jeff. That's right. In a decision handed down this week, the High Court said it was unconstitutional to ban sales of violent video games to minors. Surprisingly, the decision was written by that ultra-originalist, Antonin Scalia. His evidence was that children's literature has always featured violence. His descriptions in the decision of the gory parts of the Brothers Grimm tales, for example, wouldn't have been so upsetting if Scalia hadn't obviously enjoyed it so much. They did have to take into consideration what the founders might have thought of video games, and it turns out that they did. You know, they had video games, but they're very, very crude. Instead of like little controllers, you had to have town criers yelling out "left, left, right, trigger, right." And to play Super Mario Brothers back in the day, you just poked Italian immigrants until they chased you. I get you, colonial guy. Your last quote comes from Steve Martin talking to Alec Baldwin on Twitter the other day.
Alec, now we can get married.
Martin was all excited because now he could marry Alec Baldwin or any man, really. Where?
In New York.
In New York, New York State, New York City, the whole thing. In what some are calling a remarkable advance and others the first sign of the apocalypse, the New York State Legislature approved same-sex marriage in that state last Friday, meaning a lot of gay people in New York City and elsewhere in the state just lost their best excuse. Phones rang in stylish apartments and lofts in Chelsea and the West Village over the weekend with mothers saying, well, so, when are you going to make an honest man out of Chad? Oh, we can just see it. You know, all the mothers are going to be so excited. They'll say to the prospective son-in-laws, you know, you're like the son I already had.
But people should be warned about marriage that it's not always going to be gay.
That's true. One thing everybody's wondering, though, with gay marriage, what's going to happen to comedy? Because marriage has provided fodder and jokes since, you know, Adam first said to Eve, stand back, I don't know how big this thing gets.
There you go.
Right? That's like the basis of comedy. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen to marriage jokes now that the standards have changed?
Now they both know how big it gets.
That's true. Anyway, joining us now to help modernize classic marriage jokes, it's the master of the malaprop, one of America's favorite funny men, Mr. Norm Crosby. Norm, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Thank you, Peter.
Great to have you. So, Norm Crosby here. So, Norm, you've heard about the new marriage law in New York. What effect are they going to have on marriage jokes, do you think?
Well, I don't think it's going to make any difference because marriage is marriage. If it's he and she or he and she, what's the difference? I have some gay friends that are married, and they've been together for 20 years. They were just thrilled to get married.
Yeah.
I asked them, you've been together for so long. What's the secret? He said, well, we just made a pact. We would never go to bed mad.
Yeah.
They stayed up once for 7 months.
Really?
And he said the big secret is to keep the romance alive.
Yeah.
He said, I go out two nights a week to drinks and dance and see a show and have fun. He said, I go Monday and Wednesday and George goes Thursday.
Norm, I have a feeling you're going to do fine in this brave new world, am I right?
It's not going to make a bit of difference. I live in Hollywood, Peter. It's about a week ago, two antennas got married at the Beverly Hills Hotel. I mean, the wedding was just so-so, but the reception was...
No. Ladies and gentlemen,
right.
Norm Crosby. Norm, thank you so much. Carl, how did Jeff do in our quiz?
Jeff, you had 3 correct answers, so I'll be doing the message on your voicemail. Congratulations.
Well done. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Peter. It's a great fun.
Bye-bye.